Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin. We just wanted to take a moment and welcome each and every one of you to the program. I'm just so blessed that you would take the time to listen to what we have to say, what we have to share. We're just really believing that God is ministering to people out there, that he's helping you to grow and mature and learn things. And we're just talking about all kinds of crazy things on the program, and I like to do that with a co-host. I've got Martita Stanton with me today, just a regular now on the program. Martita, I'd love to have you
here
on the program.
Here.
Thanks
love
so
to
much.
Be here.
You're officially a staple. All right. So you guys can expect to see more and more of her. But you know, we've just been hitting all kinds of topics lately, and I love the different topics that people are bringing to the table, but you had a really interesting one that you were bringing today. And, you know, we were kind of talking about when God isn't talking or when things are just silent, and what do we do with that? You know, so why don't you give me a little bit of a breakdown of your thought process today, and then we're going to break it down. We're going to go into the Word, and we're going to just really just hammer home this idea.
Kevin, as you know, every time I'm coming, I just pray and I ask the Lord, what do you want to talk about? And then he'll bring something to my heart. And this is something that I've been dealing with, is what to do while I'm waiting for God to answer.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, because I'm when I come here, I'm transparent. This is usually something that I bring in because I'm dealing with it.
Right, right.
Okay, I really feel that I'm in transition right now, but I don't know what it is. And
right.
I'm like, okay, Lord, I would like to hear, you know, if you tell me left, I go left. You tell me right, I go right. But there's no left or right right now. I'm just waiting.
Right.
And it's been amazing because I've been really seeking the Lord and spending time with him. And through it, he's taking me through a journey. And I want to start with this. I was sitting yesterday and I was talking to the Lord about it. And he brought me back to 1984.
Wow, man, I was a junior in high school.
I was married. I got married in 1983. 1984, we were renting.
And 84 or 94?
1983, we
83,
got married.
Okay, yeah, 83, okay, got you. Okay, got
1983,
you.
We got married. In 1984, mm-hmm. We decided we're going to have to buy a house. We were renting. And I wrote a letter to the Lord. Didn't think anything of it. We decided to go for the house. We were clueless.
About buying a house.
About how much money.
What do you mean? You got to have money down?
Yes.
What is that?
So when we decided to do this, we had $17 in our savings account.
Big money, man. Totally ready to buy a house.
And we lived from paycheck to paycheck. We own a swimming pool business.
Right.
So it wasn't like we went someplace and we got paid the same amount every week.
Right.
It was if our
yeah,
clients
you don't
didn't
know what's
pay.
Coming in on
exactly.
a business.
So it was all by faith. So we started looking for houses. Every time we went to see one, I would go to my niece into prayer, and I said, Lord, if this is for me, let me have it. If it's
sure.
not mine, close the door.
Right.
Well, it got to the point that we sold the first house. You know, the first people that were trying to sell, it sold right before we could do anything.
Right.
Then we had a client that said, look, my house has been on the market for a year. Nothing is happening. In 2 weeks, I'm out of contract. I will give it to you for what I owe because it's going to go into foreclosure.
Right.
The day before her contract went out,
sold
the house
it.
Sold.
Shocker.
Six houses. We blessed six families.
Houses down the road.
It's six houses that we prayed, and they all sold. But the seventh.
Okay.
So Jeff goes.
Nice biblical number.
Yes. Jeff goes to clean a house, you know, the pool. He's doing maintenance. The owner, which was a regular client of ours, we've known her, is a real estate agent. She was late to work, sees Jeff, and says, wait a minute. So calls Jeff in and says, look, I have a coworker that is getting a house on Monday. It's going to be listed on Monday, but she gave me the key so I can go look at it. So I know nice. What we're putting in the market.
Right.
But I saw you. How about you and Martita come and see the house? So Jeff and I went to see that house that night. The next day, we prayed all night. I was praying, Lord, you know, I'm going to put, what do I offer? So she was asking $85,000 in a nice neighborhood.
Right.
And
don't you wish it was still that cheap to buy a house?
Oh, my gosh. But $85,000 back then, it was $1 million
still a lot
to
of
us.
Money. Yeah, I get it.
So
I get it.
The next day we called, said we're going to offer $75,000.
Right.
And she says, that's too low. And she was being honest with
sure,
us.
Yeah.
We knew her. And we said, no, that's what the Lord said. If she says $75,500, it's not for us.
Right.
It's $75,000. Monday she called us. And she says, I can't believe this. We got the lady on the phone. I told her about you. We said they're offering $75,000. The house wasn't even in the market yet.
Wow.
And she said, this house is for them. Give it to them.
Wow.
And we're like, oh my gosh.
It's the favor of the Lord right there.
So now the reality comes. You need, and it was total, it's going to be around $18,000 or $19,000 that we will need, $10,000 to put down payment. And then all the closing costs and all this stuff that we had no clue about it. And we prayed and said, Lord, if you're giving us this house, you got to bring the money in. People that owed us money. We didn't call anybody. Checks started coming in. And the last check was a $10,000 check that came in.
Wow.
Okay. And so here we closed, and when we closed the account and we got the house, we moved in on Thanksgiving Day.
Really? What a day to give thanks.
Thanksgiving Day. I remember we had lunch at my parents' house, and then we all went, you know, we started moving in the morning, went lunch at Thanksgiving, praise God, came back, we moved in, and we had $17 in our savings
account.
Same
thing you started with.
Exactly
no
the
way.
Same amount. The lady, 2 days before closing, she had a heart attack. It was a single older woman. She had a heart attack. And they're like, the closing is not going to go through. And I said, Lord, I started praying for the lady. My heart broke
yeah.
for her.
Oh, I bet.
They did the closing in ICU. She says, we're closing. They're getting their home. Send the lawyer in. And in ICU, she closed.
Wow.
Then after we had the house, I went to the hospital to see her. She was completely alone. She had nobody. She looked a total mess. Her hair was all
yeah,
messed
right?
up. She was crying. I didn't know her. I walked in. I brought the peace of the Lord in. I prayed for her, brushed
wow.
her hair, took care
yeah.
of her. I had to go home, the new house, and pack her stuff.
Wow.
Because she, you know, she couldn't pack.
Right.
Her brother came from Georgia down to move her, and he came. He says, thank you for loving on my sister.
Yeah.
She says, she lost everything. And I'm coming to get her and take her home. But you going to the hospital really made a difference in her life.
Wow.
So the Lord
Isn't that
used
good?
Us the whole thing. We lived there for 10 years.
Wow.
This is in South Florida. When we were packing, I remember it was one little nightstand left. I took the drawer out, and there was a piece of paper stuck in the back of the drawer. So I took it out, and it was my letter to the Lord that I wrote 11 years before.
Wow.
When we decided to buy a house, I said, Lord, we want a house, and this is what I want in my house.
Mm.
And I was very detailed. You know, how many bedrooms, I want a kitchen, I want a, you know, I was very detailed.
Sure.
When I read it, the house we bought, it was exactly everything I had in that letter was in that house.
Wow, that's so good.
I went to my knees. Oh, it's still, and I cried because
God's answer came.
God answered. And I, you know, and I went down and I said, Lord, I know I've said thank you before, but thank you.
Yeah.
Because here, I didn't even remember this letter. And he brought it to pass. And just to remind me, look, you asked.
Yeah.
And I gave it to you.
Yeah, I love that.
God is so good.
You know, that is such an inspiring story. And, you know, so many times, you know, you can say, well, you could have said in those six houses that didn't go, well, what's up, God? What? Yes. That was our house. That one was our house. That one was our house. But it really wasn't, you know? And sometimes it seems like God isn't talking, and it seems like things aren't working out. Maybe it feels like God's not there.
Or not working in your beehive. You know, where are you?
Yes. But, you know, have you ever asked for something from the Lord and then got no answer? I have. Or, you know, maybe you know something's changing in your life, something's shifting. You know, what do you do? And I love your story there. And, you know, I think we need to just, let's look at some different things, what to do while you're waiting for God to answer.
Yes.
Okay? So what would you say is the first thing we should do when we're waiting?
We need to pray and call upon the Lord. So I'm going to go to Jeremiah 33:3, and I'm going to use the Amplified here.
Yeah.
Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you, and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand, and that cannot distinguish.
Right.
You know, like selling of those houses. I could have said, like you said, you know, what's going on? Why is my house is going to somebody else? Because he was waiting until he gave me the perfect house.
Yeah.
And he was waiting until it went in the market.
Right. And you had made your request. So yes. He wanted the house to match what you had said.
Exactly.
You know, I love that because it says, call unto me and I will answer you. You know, so many times we've called to the Lord and it doesn't feel like he has answered us. And it's just like, you know, what do we do in those moments? So I think that we have to just be patient. We have to wait because God says that the things have been confined and hidden many times in this Amplified version. And he is bringing forth things that we do not know in situations that we maybe don't understand or can't distinguish. So he is working all things together for good to those who love him.
Yes, we might not be seeing and behind the curtain what's going on, but he is working. And let's go to Matthew 7:7. This is the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you.
I love that.
Don't give up.
Persistence.
Yes.
You know, don't quit.
Yes.
You know, I always tell people as a pastor, I'm like, okay, guys, if you want to know the secret to succeeding as a Christian, to succeeding as a believer in your life, right? What's the overall secret for you to keep living your life for God? And the answer is this, don't quit.
That's right.
It'll get tough. Things will happen. Situations won't look like they're working in your favor, but all things are working. So just keep asking, you know, and keep seeking and keep knocking.
So
I love it.
Colossians 4:2.
The door will open.
Oh, yeah. Colossians 4:2. Be persistent and devoted to prayer.
Right.
Being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving.
Oh, man, that's a key right there.
So, but
attitude, life attitude.
And alert and focus, which in the NIV, watchful, okay? Yeah. Watching something or something closely. And in the New King James says vigilant, the action of keeping careful watch. Keep your eye on the Lord.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I love that, alert and focused. But I that attitude of thanksgiving, man, we've got to give that a little
bit of
mention because, I mean, we can actually approach God without thanksgiving. We can say, yes, you need to do this. You owe me. You know, you need to make this happen for me. And if you don't love me. You know, it's that whole selfish child kind of approach to a parent that we see in society. And a lot of people try to do that with God. But, you know, God's moved by humility. God is moved by, you know, attitude of thanksgiving.
You brought something that it just clicked.
Okay.
You said childish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's faith, childlike faith, and being childish. And it's having that childlike faith. And I remember when the Lord brought this back. Every time the house was sold, I was like, thank you, Jesus, because that wasn't the right house for us. And you closed the door and you blessed somebody.
Right.
And I'm waiting on my perfect house. That's childlike faith. the one that you just described of throwing a fit, oh, Lord, you're not listening, you're not answering, blah, 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 yeah. is childish.
That's I'm throwing just being childish. A fit. Right. And if I don't get so my key. Way, I'm going to throw a tantrum, you know. And
being thankful and trusting God.
God's not moved by tantrums.
No, no.
You know, so here's another one, you know, so that we're talking about what to do while waiting for God's answer. So obviously don't throw a tantrum, right? Okay, yes. But no, how do you not do that? Well, you have to trust the Lord.
Yes.
You know what? You have to listen with an open heart. You have to wait for God's answer. And isn't patience the hardest thing? You know, because we want it now. Society has trained us that get it now, pay for it later, do this, credit, all that stuff, you know. But we've got to wait for his answer, not the way that you want him to answer.
Yes.
But we got to be patient and listen to what he is saying, okay?
And actually, sometimes our prayers might be, the answer might be no.
Yeah, or it may be not now.
Right, and that's why I'm saying, we need to pray and ask, but one thing is saying, I want you to answer this way.
Right.
Versus saying, Lord, I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do your way, but not mine.
Right. Sometimes it's, oh, heck no. No. I'm kidding.
But like, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, Proverbs, right?
Yes. Proverbs 3:5-6.
It's everybody's favorite scripture. I use this one so much.
I love it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We need to trust him.
Yeah. Well, I think the key to this verse is actually acknowledging God. Are you going to acknowledge that God is in control of this situation, or are you going to try to work it out, make it work in your own strength and do it your own way, and then just say, well, it didn't work out, so God must not have been in it, when you really never sought the Lord in the first place? While you're waiting for his answer, the key is to acknowledge him, keep his, you know, desires, your desires. And, you know, in that word acknowledge, you know, we see the correlation is this: seek his will.
Yes.
Maybe acknowledge and recognize him.
Yes.
You know, bring him into the game, you know, and then submit to him. That's the hard part. You know, submitting to God. And when you want something now and you're having to wait because God is doing something in you, he's doing something inside of you while you're in waiting every time. You know, but you got to remember, he's got your back.
Yes, that is so important. He's good.
Yes.
He wants what's best for you. So let's go to Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. It is so neat because, again, if we keep our eyes on the Lord,
yeah,
he is. Remember Peter when he was walking in the water and he was walking on the water until he took his eyes off?
He took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves and everything
and the storm,
around him.
And he started going down.
Yeah. Life can be like that.
Yes.
You can stop and look at life and go, man, I'm sinking.
Yes.
But you know what? Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I seek the word of God on the matter. You know, it is the one standard that we have that is forever true in our life, our Bible, okay? You know what? You can look it up on Google. You can look in a concordance on any subject, and those resources will direct you to the right sources. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that Google is one of the greatest tools that I have as a pastor. I know I need scripture. I got to go pray for somebody at the hospital. I need prayer, you know, to bring healing. I want to know what all the healing scriptures are. And I say, you know what? I'll Google healing scriptures. Boom. Show me every scripture. And then I'll find and I'll be like, Holy Spirit, which one is the one you want me to share with them?
Yes.
You know, and it's an amazing tool. So, you know, that is one thing that we cannot overlook, is that when we're waiting on the Lord, You know, we have to seek him in the word on the matter.
Yes.
You know, because he may be saying not now, or he may be saying no, or he might be saying, yeah, let's do this. But until you seek the Lord in scripture and in the word, you're never going to really truly know for sure where all that is landing until you hear the voice of the Lord through the word of God.
One thing that I find that is really important to me is to be intentional about spending quiet time with the Lord.
Yeah, how are you going to hear him on it if you're not being still?
Yes, if I'm listening to the phone ringing, the TV is on, the phone is going off, all these interruptions, how can I hear?
Yeah.
It's just, even Jesus, look at when he fed the 5,000 men, and that's men, and that didn't include the
right.
children and
so
the women.
It could have been 10,000.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes, so after all that, and every time he worked and he did all his things, what did he do? He sent them away, and he went up the mountain
yeah.
to spend time with the Lord.
I love that.
I mean, that is so important. If Jesus needed it, how much more
yeah.
do I need it?
Sure. And, you know, we need to be alone with God. We need to be present in spirit, soul, and body. You know, fully connected with him. You know, disconnect from everything else, connect with the Lord, and let him give you the direction in those moments, you know, because we're talking about what to do while we're waiting for God to answer. You know, we want that answer now, but you know what? Sometimes we can't get an answer from the Lord immediately. We have to be intentional. We have to get into that quiet time moment with God, and, you know, as we disconnect from everything else, God will begin to speak to us.
And let's be real. Some people will say, I have 3 or 4 children in my house. I have the house is going on crazy. Look, when you're taking a shower, the shower is going on and you have nothing else.
That's
you
it.
Go, Lord, I am all yours. I'm listening to you. I'm spending time with you.
Right.
Hey, whatever works. I remember
absolutely.
When my kids were little, I will say, when I'm in the bathroom, leave me alone.
Right.
That is my quiet time.
Yeah.
And I will just go in there, and they will knock. I'm like, no, go away. Because it's, you know, I had children.
Leave me alone. But anyway, so amazing. You know, I think the last thing that I want to just kind of bring to the table here is, you know, sometimes we just got to be patient. And we got to expect God to do what God
yes.
does. We got to believe for that amazing outcome to happen, you know. And that is just one of the most important things. If you're trusting the Lord, if you're being intentional, you're spending time with him, you're seeking him in the word, then you need to be patient and expect that God is working all things together for your good in that situation. So,
yes.
you know what? I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and I want to talk about this being patient and expecting a good outcome in the Lord. We'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. And we have been just going at it, talking about what to do while you're waiting for God to answer. And we've got so much information. We're going to come back and do this again a little bit more tomorrow. We're going to talk about the same topic, but the one that I had just come out with was being patient and expecting a good outcome. Martita, you know, share with us a little bit about that, maybe a couple of scriptures. You know, let's load people up with how to be patient and expect to have a good outcome. You know, you got to be positive.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to start with Psalm 5:3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly.
So first thing we got to recognize is God does hear you.
Yes.
You know, so many times we just want to think, you're not listening. No, he is listening. And, you know, you just have to lay that request before the Lord and then begin. You have to wait because sometimes it's timing.
You have to believe.
Yeah, look at Psalms 27, 13 and 14 in the New Living. It says, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. Mm-hmm. While I'm here in the land of the living, I will wait patiently for the Lord. So be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. You see, I think the biggest factor is impatience. We want what we want. We want it now. We've been trained that way. So we've got to redirect ourselves and retrain ourselves to be patient and know that God is good, that it is working out, even though it doesn't seem like it's working. God is doing things in the background.
Let's go to Micah 7:7. But as for me, I will look expectantly for the Lord, and with confidence in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with confident expectation for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
He does. He hears each one of us. Look at Psalm 62:5. For God alone, my soul waits in silence and quietly submits to him. See, there we are. We're back to that disconnecting from the world and, you know, being alone with the Lord and so forth. So, you know, our hope is from him.
Yes.
It's not in our abilities and being able to get through the circumstances. Our trust needs to be in God. Our hope needs to be in God. We need to spend all of our time with him. So give us one more. Let's do one more.
Psalm 135. I wait patiently for the Lord. My soul expectantly waits, and his word do I hope. It, you know, the bottom line is we have to believe and have faith and trust in the Lord and just sit there and wait upon him because he has the perfect timing to answer our prayers.
Yeah,
he
amen.
He has our back. He is there for us. We need to trust in him and go for it.
So what do we do while we're waiting for God's answer? We got to be patient and we got to trust him. Hey, we hope you guys enjoyed the program today. We'll see you tomorrow, and we're going to keep talking about this subject a little bit more. See you then.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.